The following video has been rated C for complicated. Multiple viewings is advised.
Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهِ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Don't be like those who forgot about Allah, and as a result, Allah made them forget about themselves. So the question you have to ask yourself is, how is it that the moment I forget about Allah, I'm therefore forgetting about myself? What's the correlation here? Well, the idea is that if you take a person who completely rejects the idea of a creator, you're kind of rejecting the idea of anything divine. You'll often hear the atheists say, I don't believe in God, I don't believe in any angels, and therefore I don't believe in the soul either. Now, the moment you reject the idea of the soul, what are you left with? What is a human being? A human being is really just a product of two factors, nature and nurture. Now, your nature is what you're a result of because of your parents. Essentially, the sperm and the egg that produced your DNA, that produced your body, you have to admit that these things were not chosen. Nobody chose to be born, you know, male or female or their race or any of these factors. Nobody chose their DNA. And so therefore, nobody chose their brain. Then if you look at nurture, did anybody choose where they were born or the first things they interacted with or the first things that they saw? No. So really, if you're just a product of nature and nurture, both of which you have not chosen, then you have to admit you don't have any choice. You don't have any free will. Now, what is free will? Essentially, it's your identity. When you think about how you identify somebody, you say, oh, this guy's a nice guy. Why is he a nice guy? Well, what you're really saying is that he makes nice choices. He chooses to be kind. He chooses to be generous, etc. These descriptions of an identity is based on choices. And so the moment you remove the idea of a soul and remove the idea of choice, you remove the idea of identity as well. I think an easy way of understanding this is by simply taking a look at Siri. Siri, right, on everybody's phone, doesn't have any free will. Now, even if it might appear that way, let's say theoretically, a child picks up a phone and that phone says,
I am an atheist.
Now, the moment that Siri said that, the child might think, oh, this phone has an opinion. This phone, you know, is an atheist. And what would you tell this child? You'd say, look, I understand that it might look that way because the phone spoke. But the reality is that there's factors that cause this. In other words, the phone was manufactured, it had a nature, it was manufactured in a, you know, factory, and then it was sold and somebody bought it and somebody typed in these words, I am an atheist, and that was its nurture, both of which, is this sounding familiar? Both of which, the nature and the nurture, Siri didn't choose. And therefore, when Siri said, I am an atheist, the reality is that she really wasn't saying anything. She's not even a she. She's just a reaction. Some of you might be thinking, why is this Muslim talking about beliefs in atheism? Well, you don't have to take it from me. You can take a look at the very famous Richard Dawkins and Lawrence Krauss. They're talking about how, from their perspective, there's no room for free will. Even Stephen Hawking, the famous physicist, has a quote where he describes human beings as having the illusion of choice. In my experience, many atheists do believe in free will. And you explain to them that, look, it really doesn't make sense. There's no room for it. They say, well, complexity. That's one argument I hear a lot. The mind is so complex that somehow free will is inserted into it. Well, it doesn't really matter how complex an object is. I might not understand all the inner workings of my laptop, but I know that it's, you know, breakdownable. I know that you can take a look at all the different causes and effects and eventually predict and understand how it's going to operate. So similarly, our brain, even though it's way more complex, so complicated, and we don't understand all of it, we still do know that what is inside of our bodies. Our bodies are made up of molecules. Our bodies are made up of, you know, atoms, and these things are just reacting to their environment. So if you think about Newton's first law, where he explains that a body of matter will remain in a static state until an outside force is acted upon it. Well, if that's the case, then we as human beings, we're just made up of matter. And we were wound up like a clock inside of the wombs of our mothers, and everything else is just stimulus making us react. And it doesn't really matter how complex that reaction is because it's all just cause and effect. There is no magical matter inside of our minds or inside of our bodies. It's just the same type of matter you can find at the grocery store. But why is it that so many atheists believe in free will? I would argue that the appeal of atheism to a large degree is the concept of freedom. You think to yourself, I don't have to be shackled by the rules of some God, or I don't want to be judged every moment of every day and then, you know, have to pay for whatever I've done. I find that atheism is promoted, it's advertised through the concept of free will. In fact, if you take a look at the following image, you'll see this atheist campaign in which it reads, "There's probably no God, now stop worrying and enjoy your life." Think about that last portion, enjoy your life. Another way of saying that is, just exercise your free will, do whatever you want. In conclusion, the moment somebody says, "I'm an atheist," you can always ask them, "Well, do you believe in free will?" If they say yes, then they have a really hard time justifying why they do. I mean, think about it. What are they going to say? "Yes, I do, but I know that I'm from nature and nurture, and there are no other factors. I didn't choose nature. I didn't choose nurture. The argument of complexity doesn't make any sense." So anywhere the atheist turns, he's kind of stuck. And then you can always point to those leaders that I referenced earlier. And they explain very clearly that, look, there's no room for free will in atheism. So he's stuck with saying no. But like we mentioned earlier, the moment he says, "No, I don't believe in free will," then you saying the words, "I don't believe in free will," wasn't your choice. You chose to do it as much as Siri. And Siri is not an atheist. And you know that, and I know that. So really, if you really want to put it concisely, just take the sentence, "I am an atheist," right? The moment you ask the question, "Do you believe in choice?" If the person says, "Yes, I believe in choice," you can put an X on the word atheist. They're not atheist. I'm sorry. If you believe in choice, that means you believe in some kind of a soul, something that is supernatural, something that allows you to make choices that is not just a reaction, not just a cause and effect. And that's what your soul is, and that's what I'm advocating that you have. But if the person says, "No, I reject the idea of free will," well, then you can put an X on the words "I am," because you don't have free will. So I leave you with the same advice that I began with, the divine wisdom from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who states, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهِ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Don't be like those who forgot about Allah, and as a result, He made them forget about themselves. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى سَيِّدِ مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ تَسْلِيمًا كَثِيرًا.